Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is March 13th, 2023. Good morning, everybody. How are we?
Good morning.
On this beautiful day.
Good morning.
Yeah, it is a, it's raining. I think we're getting a nor'easter. Is this a nor'easter, Dave?
It feels like it. It feels like it in my bones, yeah.
You haven't been checking the weather and seeing the lows and the highs coming through, getting ready for some paddling?
I just got back from Hawaii, so I'm just trying to adjust to the East Coast.
Do they have weather in Hawaii? Is there a...
They don't have weather. No, I'm kidding. They do. It was actually pretty windy there.
Well, that's very cool. Well, listen, today we got... So we got Dave Schofield, and I'm gonna take this name slow because I don't want to screw this up. So this is the New Hope Canoe Club Ministry, mm-hmm. Team Atlantic.
That's the one.
I'm glad I wrote that down. So, yeah, so we got some members of that club today. So we got Karen Truppo.
Yes.
And we got Tanya Pritz.
Hello.
And we got Dave Schofield. What's going on, folks?
It's going. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. And you're just and thanks for coming back because you've been on before.
Yeah, I was on once before when we first started this Hawaiian Outrigger adventure here in the Lewis area. And you had me on, and I appreciate the airtime so we can get the word out.
Well, you helped me, so thank you. Because when you start a new podcast, you know, it's like Mary Kay, you got to hit up all your friends and family, and then then you got to find some more people. So thank you, Dave. Anyway,
thank you.
So what do we want to talk about? So I know we got some new stuff. We're getting ready to go into the spring, starting a new season, getting pretty excited. What do we want to cover today?
Well, just to remind people that there is this unique sport in the area. People often see these canoes out there, and they're like, what's that thing doing here? It should be in Hawaii. And so... As you remember, I had lived in Hawaii for a while in my life, 16 years, and fell in love with the sport and moved back to the East Coast to tend to family matters and thought, hey, I'll start a canoe club effort here. And so we just wanted to talk about that. We have some upcoming orientation recruitment meetings we can talk about. And
nice.
Just brought some friends with me because they love the sport as well.
Well, I definitely want to hear from them, but I want. Can you just take a second to remind the people that are listening what sort of canoe this is? Because it is a unique vessel.
Yeah, it's about 44 feet long,
yeah.
And it has the and it's only about 20 inches wide, so it's long and narrow. But then it has the, as the name states, the outrigger on the outside. It's to the left always. There's a pontoon thingy, which is called an ama, and then the two stanchions that go from the main part of the canoe out to the float or the ama are called yakus. And so, it's a traditional Hawaiian, racing canoe. People have raced these things for, several hundred years now, and, it's the state sport of Hawaii, and it's just a lot of fun.
Well, if you think about the, what was it, Hawaii 5-0, I think that opening scene had that, and everybody went, I'm going to try that. That looks pretty awesome. Maybe even Magnum PI, I can't remember, but I know that that's where I would remember first seeing that. And that's pretty cool. So they race, I always picture them just riding waves, right? So it's actually like a race.
You can race them. So our club in particular has... what we call recreational paddling, which is just out for a short bit. Nice. We have like novice practices, which is just going out short distances. And then we have a competitive crew that goes out and will paddle for anywhere from 8 to 15 or more miles to get ready for races. And there are races through an organization called ECORA, which is East Coast Outrigger Racing Association. And there's about 12 clubs from New York and Massachusetts down to Miami that get together at different times of the year and race in different areas of the East Coast.
Wow. So when we first met, it's probably been a year.
Mm-hmm.
Was it about a year?
About a year.
I can't remember how many members you had. I think you were just getting started.
There was just two of us.
Just two of you. So we're, and a year later, where are you now? I know that The folks that are guests with us today are members, but how is your membership built up?
It's coming slowly but surely. We have about 45 on the roster, and there's probably about 20 that paddle with a lot of, you know, regularity. But so we have people from out of town will come in and paddle as well.
So you went from 2 to 20 to roughly 40?
About 45,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It's growing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We're happy.
In two boats.
We have four canoes.
Four canoes. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this is awesome. So did he give you guys the spiel and you guys were like so excited to try? That's how you got involved? Or share your story, how you guys got involved in this?
Well, my friend Karen here saw a flyer at, I think it was east of Maui.
Yeah.
And she always calls me and says, hey, I found something really cool for us to do. And my first reaction was like, oh, hell no. racing canoes. I don't even know what an outrigger canoe is. But I like to really challenge myself a lot and try new things. So up until the minute we went, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to go. I don't think I'm going to be good at this. But I went and I'm so glad that I did. First of all, it has a very strong cool factor. People are like, wow, you paddle those things? They're very cool to look at and to paddle. They're really fun. But it's a sport that is very meditative. Mm. There's a strong sense of community, and you're out on the bay. Like, what's not to love? To see wildlife and be with like-minded people. It's really quite lovely, and it's great exercise.
So this does take, you guys do this in the bay?
We do it, we can paddle in the bay, in the ocean, and in the wintertime here, because for safety reasons, we've moved the canoes around to Canal Front Park, and we're able to keep them down there thanks to the Rob Wharton and his family that own the land that the baseball field is on. He's allowed us to keep canoes there for the winter, and so we paddle up and down the Lewis Rehoboth Canal and up into the Broadkill.
Well, that's great. I think, Tanya, you brought up a good point. You know, I think when most people think they would like to try something like this, there's that voice, right, that's like, nah. Don't do this. You're never going to be able to do this. But I think the part that you mentioned that about the community and the camaraderie and the, you know, the group, I think is really what becomes really important.
To me, it's the most important. I love the exercise, but that's the least of what I love about it. Yeah. And to be clear, I had very little paddling experience. I had done some stand-up paddleboarding, but I'm not a regular kayaker or canoer or stand-up paddleboarder. I just did it, you know, maybe a few times in my life. And David is wonderful at offering instruction, and it's not particularly complicated. I mean, get in the boat and paddle like hell, really.
Yeah. You have one job.
I mean, there's definitely technique, for sure, but it's rather intuitive, and David so kindly and succinctly offers great instruction where you feel confident almost from the get-go.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I didn't pay her to say that.
So. Nobody made any money here today.
That's right.
Karen, what do you think?
I was going to reinforce what Tanya said. Coach David is really patient and calm and makes it fun. He makes it a fun experience. But my favorite thing is, in fact, that it is a wonderful workout, but it's also... I love anything that's mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And you're out there, you're one with nature, you're seeing beautiful, you know, the beautiful water, the dolphins, it's amazing. But also, you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to the person in front of you. You have to pay attention to the commands that Coach David is giving us in order to, you know, stay on track with everybody. So it's just a lovely, you can't really think about anything else that may be on your mind when you're out there.
Yeah.
And it's just a great group of people. It's wonderful. Every once in a while, Coach David will play some fun Hawaiian music.
Yeah.
And just kind of adds to the wonderfulness.
Well, it's funny. People are like, do you have any trips planned? And I'm like, I live at the beach.
I know.
It's like, where do you go? I mean, I guess Hawaii. That might be the only option, but we live in a pretty amazing place. And the fact is, there are dolphins, right? Yeah. I think there's some whales too.
Yes.
I have yet to see one, but I know that they're
fish jumping, seals. Oh, it's incredible.
It's incredible.
It's an incredible world out there, and to be part of it is truly amazing.
Nice.
And you get a great workout.
You get a great workout.
You get a great workout.
So what's a session like? Or I don't. Whatever you call it, a ride or a paddle. I don't know what you call it. But what's a day like when you get your group together or you guys meet?
Sure.
Unload. I've seen these boats on your car, and they're huge. So
yeah. And they're heavy.
Yeah, they're heavy. I will never forget when there was a guy, I guess he had just started kayaking, wasn't doing even these big boats, and he's like, can you come and help me? I'm like, what's the matter? He goes, I can't get the thing back on my car. And I was like, sure.
But that is a thing, right? You know, you get, you make sure you can get it back on the car. Right?
Back on the beach, yeah.
Back on the beach and on the car.
Yeah, it requires a large number of people. So the lighter, we have two different kinds of canoes. We've got a heavier style that's about 400 pounds, and then the lighter ones that are about 150. But it still requires 6 to 8 people to carry these canoes.
Wow.
But yeah, typical session is just, yeah, we get to the beach, we circle up, and we talk about who's sitting in what seat, and we talk about the route we're going to take. We usually have a little message as the name when you read it. It's a ministry, so I like to give a little word of scripture just really quickly, and then talk about it for maybe a minute or two, super short, and then we get in the canoe and go. And what I normally like to say if we're launching somewhere on Lewis Beach is to head out in that area between the point and the inside breakwater. I affectionately call that the dolphin pond because there always seems to be dolphins out there. Mm. And then we'll head out towards Broadkill or Roosevelt Inlet, and we usually beach the boat, canoe, and take a swim or just stretch our legs, and then maybe head back down to a launching place further down toward the state park. And that can be what I just described as about 8 miles. And so if we want to go further, we can shoot all the way up to like the Slaughter Beach area and come down. One, we were practicing for a race last year and we went around the point and all the way down to Dewey Beach and back. That was a 20-mile shot.
Wow.
Yeah. So we depends on what the crew wants to do. And I have a bad reputation of saying, well, you know, we'll go about 7 miles and we get back to the beach. And they're like, how long was that? And I'm like, it was 11. It was 11 miles, you know. So, don't listen to Coach David. But if the canoe's running, you know, you got to let her run, you know. And so you got to let her run.
Well, so it sounds like you spend, is that the river, the Delaware River, going up towards Slaughter Beach? Is that, I mean, because that's a little bit more protected, right?
Well, it's still the Delaware Bay, but yeah.
Is that what they call it? Okay,
it's still the Delaware Bay. Yeah, it's a little protected, but if you get a northeast wind, it can be ripping out there. So you got to be careful.
So that's the bay. What do you do any in the Rehoboth Bay?
In Rehoboth Bay, yes. Last summer we did do a program down at Camp Arrowhead with the kids that visit Camp Arrowhead.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we had them out on the Rehoboth Bay. But yeah, in the wintertime we're staying in the canals here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, I love running. I'm not a huge exercise guy, but I do enjoy running. And, you know, one of the things that I learned through running is that, you know, unless I'm suffering a little, I'm not really living.
That's right.
And I can imagine there's some suffering going on out on that boat.
Canoe.
Canoe. Yeah, there can be. I went to an orientation paddle with Karen that very first day, and I said, that was really fun. I'll come again. And I signed up for a novice practice. And, you know, 10 miles later, I was like, what the heck just happened to me?
Yeah. But when it's all said and done, I bet you have a little bit of pep in your step. Your shoulders are back probably a little bit. I mean, it's a...
It felt great.
Yeah.
Felt great. And, you know, to push yourself and have other people push you and be part of a team and not wanting to let them down felt really good.
Well, and I'm sure you're like, sign me up. That was great. And then, you know, you get home and you put a few days after and you're like, what did I sign up for? Like, I've come back down to earth and realized that was not easy.
It wasn't easy, but it was well worth it.
Good.
Well worth it.
So if someone's a beginner and wants to come in, I mean, can they kind of fit in? Is it, you know, or is it novice?
Absolutely. Everyone's welcome. There are all sorts of people come out. And it's just a wonderful way to start your day. Lots of camaraderie. Start or end your day or take a break in your day. But someone would have to be relatively active.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we tell people you should be competent in the water, not scared of the water, because the boats, they can flip over. It's very rare. And I'm usually the steersman, so if the boat flips over, it's really my fault. So I try not to let that happen. But you should be a strong swimmer. You should be in somewhat of good physical conditioning. It can be a place to work out, but we usually say it's good to work outside of the canoe to be prepared for the canoe.
Sure.
But yeah, it can be quite strenuous. We will do just leisurely paddles of, you know, 5 to 8 miles or more for practice, but we do have special techniques where we might train and say 20 strokes on each side for 8 repetitions. So just really going hard. So kind of like doing a hard resistance workout in the canoe.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's actually a little system in place for getting stronger.
Yep.
And keep in mind that many of us are in our 50s and 60s. So this is not a bunch of young muscleheads doing this. This is, you know, we are of a certain age. Right. So we can, if we can do it, most people can do it.
Well, young muscleheads are, you know, welcome to join now. I do want to have a ringer crew for races this summer. But it's all good. No, we have, all walks of life, all faiths. As I mentioned, it is a ministry, but I have people who have come up to me and said, hey, I'm this, I'm that. And it's, it's really low key. We reach across faiths. If you happen to be Christian, we do have an offshoot Bible study. But if you're not, these guys will test the fact it's just about getting in and paddling.
Absolutely.
Listen, you paddle 12 miles, you're going to find something. Well, you're going to have an awakening.
I have one paddler who says that. The crew doesn't know when I'm going to stop the canoe to take a break. You know, we just go, and then all of a sudden we'll, okay, take a break. And she will say that, I know why this is a ministry, because I've been praying for this canoe to stop for the last 20 minutes. So, anyway, you'll find it somehow.
Listen, I think it's great. Especially after, I don't want to go back in time, but, sort of coming through what we've gone through. You know, a lot of people are a little stressed out. You know, people are still trying to figure out. I mean, even myself, I'm still trying to get my feet under myself. And I was like, this ain't a big deal, right? And then I realized, I don't know, it had a little more effect on me than I realized. Right. And thank God I've been running, right? But, it's nice to find some way to put that energy out, especially with a group of people that, rely on you, and then you rely on them, and get you out of yourself a little bit.
Yeah, amen.
So, go ahead.
Did you have something, Karen?
No.
I have something.
Go ahead, Tanya.
So Coach David mentioned that it is a ministry, and I'm more spiritual than Christian, I would say, and I'm very, very comfortable in the canoe and with all of his teachings and studies. What I like most about the community part of it is that we really focus on the basic tenets of the word aloha, or what the word aloha means, because it is a Hawaiian canoe club. And I didn't really know that this existed, but it's become something that I even teach in my yoga practice, and something that I just come back to pretty much every day. And aloha is really an acronym. And the A stands for akahai, which means kindness. And isn't that a wonderful thing?
Always.
The L is lokahi, for unity. As you paddle, you must be in unity, or else the boat just goes around in circles, pretty much. And then olu olu means to be agreeable, also a really nice quality. Ha'a'aha is humility. I think something that I know I could bring a little bit more of into my life. And then ahanui is patience. So more than preaching, I don't want to say just Christianity, but these are the tenets that really unify everybody, no matter what God you may worship, or what you, even if you don't worship any God, right? Like these are words that we can all bring into our daily lives. And that's what I love most about the club, is that we always come back to these five things. In general, the word aloha means presence of breath, and you need to be focusing on your breath, have mindfulness as you're paddling. So those are my favorite things about the club.
Mm-hmm. It's like serenity.
It is.
It's like serenity Hawaiian style.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's the, I feel like that's the main goal in life, if we, to receive, or to get to the point where we have serenity, and it takes a lot.
Contentment, and serenity,
joy. if we can pull those five tenets off every day, the kindness, unity, patience, to be agreeable, humility, if we can pull those off every day, the world would be a better place, and we'd be better to each other. It's kind of like that old book of all the things I need to know as an adult I learned in kindergarten, right? And so if we can just share a little bit of aloha with each other in and out of the canoe, we'll be a better community.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's amazing. Last few weeks, the conversation of higher power has been brought up a lot. And, I'm like, well, what happens if it's just a higher road power, like the ability to take a higher road, to be accountable, to be patient, to be willing for change, or to disagree, agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. I always tell people it brings value in you. If you're a person that cannot have these things, you're of no value. I mean, you're of value to somebody, I'm sure. But like, if I'm going to go build a new colony on Mars, I'd prefer to have 10 aloha people than not, because there could be a lot of arguments on that spaceship for 2 years. So, I think it's a great higher road kind of lifestyle as well.
I love that saying, higher road power, if religion's not your thing, right?
People search it high and low for a higher power, like this spiritual buddy that's just going to pop out of the floor. And I believe it's more like a byproduct of a lot of work, right? Mm-hmm. Removing self-centered fear, and what's left is that higher power, or that higher road power. And it's, Yeah, it's awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that acronym. It's very cool. I didn't know that. Yeah. So thank you. That was notes, and I love that.
I know.
Well, I did memorize it for my yoga class, but I was a little nervous about remembering
it. Never try to memorize
it.
Anything on a podcast, because I will tell you, it goes right out the door.
On the radio, you can use flashcards.
Right.
Can't pull that off on TV, but we're good.
Yeah, and we're not on TV. Thank gosh.
Well, another thing I can, a Hawaiian phrase, if we have time to share, is...
We have all day.
We have all day. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. So there was, between 2013 and 2019, there was the voyage of the Hokulea, which is a double-hulled canoe. And a group of people sailed that double-hulled Hawaiian canoe, Polynesian canoe, around the world. And their slogan, if you will, as they were traveling was, and I'll say it in Hawaiian, and I'll tell you what it means in English. And so it's, he va'a, he moku, he moku, he va'a, which means the va'a is the canoe and moku is mountain or island. And so it means that the canoe is an island and the island is a canoe. And what they were doing on this voyage was, one, they were spreading aloha, what Tanya just read, around the world, just saying what we were saying earlier, is that, hey, we may be separated by distance, but we're not separated spiritually as human beings. We are all of one mind. We all need aloha. And so they went and they shared that. They also did this voyage to show that the old ancient style of Polynesian navigation using the stars and things was still as viable today. And they wanted to recreate that because that's how the Hawaiian Islands were discovered. And they were kind of recreating the voyaging mindset. The other aspect of that phrase, the island is a, the canoe is an island and the island is a canoe, is just that idea of we live on this one singular planet. And just like we depend on each other in the canoe to move the boat forward, we must rely on each other and cooperate with each other to conserve this planet that we have. We're just a little warm blue marble in the middle of a dark space, the only life that we really know of, and we have to conserve and preserve the environment because we're just trashing the oceans. I mean, they say that in 2050, there'll be more plastic material in the oceans than living matter. So all the little plankton bodies all the way up to the whale bodies, all that living biomass, there'll be more plastics in the ocean. And so we've got a lot to do to protect Mother Earth.
Cruise ships.
So David's a marine biologist by training. And another thing that we love about the club is that he teaches us these things. We always have a lesson, even if it's just in the form of a story, about how we can better protect Mother Earth, and stories about marine mammal rescue that he did in the Hawaiian Islands at the Baltimore Aquarium. So appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, and I think, and I like how the canoe is the island and the island is the canoe. I think the islands are actually moving, and they're formed, they move on, and then they fade away, right? Mm-hmm. Am I right? Is that, I think what's the oldest island?
In the Hawaiian Islands, the plates move from east to west. So you're right. The big island is currently, you've heard it on the news recently, is erupting. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look up the island chain 1,300 or 1,600 miles, I forget what it is, the oldest islands are just now kind of sinking under the surface of the earth. They've turned into these sand atolls, and they just drift away. While I was there for 16 years, we actually lost a couple of islands that were considered important breeding areas for Hawaiian monk seals. And it's like, what do you do? But that's nature.
We didn't have anything to do with that. That's nature.
But they do move, in that westerly direction. And, in the main Hawaiian islands, the oldest island is probably Niihau, which is the furthest to the west, and that's the smallest. And you can see them. As you look east to west, the islands get smaller because of erosion.
Yeah, they're just fading. They fade away, and a new island is born. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, there's a lot of great... I watched the Joe Rogan podcast with, I forget her name. She's a volleyball girl, and she's married to the surfer, the big surf... I forget his name. But she was talking about, each island is different. Like, some islands will allow, regular people. Then there's some islands that don't allow certain people to come on the islands. A lot of different rules out there, very strict out there in Hawaii.
Yeah, no, there's one island that is Niihau, the one I mentioned, is maintained just by indigenous populations. No, nobody's. I wouldn't be able to go there.
Yeah.
Laird Hamilton and Gabrielle Reese.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, that's what
fell out of my head.
I knew it as soon as I said it. I'm like, I don't remember. So, but yeah, she was. That's a great. If someone wants to see a great podcast, that's a great one. Yeah. She's an amazing lady.
She's the good trivia partner.
But it's a. She's like, you know, people come to Hawaii. They think that it's going to be this amazing place. It's a. It can be a little challenging, yeah. Mm-hmm. And not always. You know, because you're a newcomer, sort of, right? So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's awesome. I think that I like that story. Island, the canoe is the island, and the island is the canoe. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, how many times have you been out on the canoe?
Oh my goodness, that's a really good question. Goodness. I'm gonna say.
How about more than once?
Oh, absolutely. Less than more than
a dozen
once.
Times.
I'd say about a dozen.
Okay.
About a dozen times. I was a little gun shy of the colder weather. Some of our paddlers go out because they've got equipment, wetsuits and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I was not so equipped. So I kind of stick to the warm weather paddles. Mm. But it's just wonderful. And I wanted to talk a little bit too about something really fun we did and I imagine we'll continue to do is the Lewis Parade.
Okay.
The Christmas parade. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I've done that many years. It's a great time.
It was wonderful. We had a great float. We all got dressed up.
Did you have a canoe on a float?
Yeah.
Nice. We had the canoe on the trailer, and we had paddlers in the canoe and filled up the back with presents. And
we did.
Candy?
We did.
Threw the candy out?
We threw the candy out, a little bit of candy, and it was really nice to be part of that, another nice thing that our community offers.
Well, it's cool to be part of something like that because when you are, you know, then usually like something like that, we'll do something like that. But when you're just at home, you're like, should we go be in the parade? Probably not. But when you get involved with a group that does
absolutely.
That, you know, it picks us up on our slower days. And that's
absolutely.
Really cool because I've done, in fact, Home Theater Solutions, where we're recording now, we used to do a float and Gavin would bring in this band. He'd put a drum set on this trailer and they'd perform and it was a whole thing. And we did that for many years. It was a lot of fun.
And then people got to see the boat that might not normally have gotten to see it. They were like,
right.
"What the heck? You know, what is this coming down the street?" And we had our paddles wrapped with little twinkle lights, and we were singing "Mele Kaliki Maka," Merry Christmas in Hawaiian. People loved it, and we had a blast.
That's very cool.
Actually, yeah, for next year we actually need a real singer and someone who.
What
can,
are you saying, David?
What are you saying, David? We need singers.
Aloha.
Professional singers. Yeah, where'd that go? Where'd the aloha go? And anybody out there in radio listening land, if you play the ukulele, call us.
Yeah.
No, we talked.
We need you.
Yeah, we had some people, they talked about getting like live acts. We actually have some people who can sing and one woman who can play the ukulele. But yeah, I think next year we're going to rock, put a real band out there with the parade. We're going to try to.
That Let's talk about fun. David standing in the back of the pickup truck holding a big surfboard in his, I don't want to say skivvies.
It was supposed to be a Maui, you know, Maui,
oh,
the
Lord.
From Moana, you know, the character Maui, which I don't quite have the bod for that, but they gave me this full length leotard thing to wear that looked like Maui. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing.
So, no, it was great.
It was great. Awesome. It was great.
But it you know what awesome. Was good though? A little kid, actually, I heard as we were driving, the float was going by, a little kid goes, look, Maui. And I'm like, okay. Aww. I pulled it off at least in one kid's
eyes. It was all worth it.
It was
a
all
lot
worth
of
it.
Fun.
Yeah. So what is Steve? What's the future? What are we hoping for in the next couple of years?
Well, we just continued growth. Again, this is not like a tourist operation. So it's not like call up and say, well, you know, what time is the, you know, what time can we go out for a day trip? It's not really like that. I mean, we will do short kind of orientation paddles, but it's more of a club that you join.
Mm-hmm.
And so there will be some recruitment meetings coming up. Actually, the first one is this Saturday, March 18th at the, what do they call it? The Parish Hall at St. Peter's Church in Lewis. Mm. And then next weekend, March 25th at 3:00, there'll be another recruitment meeting at the Crossing Church here on Route 1. And then the third and final recruitment meeting will be at Tanya's Drip Bar. Drip bar, Ivy Drip Bar at in Rehoboth. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. It's on Thursday, April 6th at 6:30. We're on the Forgotten Mile upstairs from the Barbell Club, and we've got a nice space there where we offer our IV drips and vitamin shots, but there's also yoga and then a personal training studio at the Barbell Club. So it's a nice space where people come to get and stay well. So we thought it was very consistent with our mission of the paddling club. So we'll bring people together to learn more about the club and have a short orientation and to meet other paddlers.
That's very cool.
I think it's really important to meet other paddlers because I think you might have in your mind, like, again, I don't know how to do this. I'm certainly not capable of doing this. Why would I go? But no, I was scared to death. And after the very first time, I thought, oh, no, I can do this. And I mean, I'm fit, but I'm not an athlete by any means. And it's just more about being together and being on the water and doing something that's really fun and challenging yourself. So I think it would be nice for people who are interested, even just a little bit, to come and talk with us and say, hey, listen, how hard is it really? And do you really think I could do it? And I think that's makes it a little more accessible.
Well, and I think if you're paddling, right, and if you are tired, you could probably pull up your paddle.
No.
If you stop paddling in Hawaii, they hang you by your ankles like Johnny Depp in the movie. No, I'm just kidding.
We're building
that's
membership,
horrible.
Dave.
That's
trying
horrible.
To get you some people, buddy.
How to attract people and impress crowds. No, you can. Yeah. We will with the beginning paddling, we will stop and take breaks pretty often. But when you're traditionally, though, if you're like in a race, you don't really stop paddling.
Well, traditionally, but we're not racing here. I'm just talking about like if someone's new to paddling and has never paddled and would like to try something. It's like, can you pick your paddle up and just take a second and not ruin the whole adventure?
Exactly. Yeah. They do. They pull up. You can pull up the paddle. You can call yourself out, like seat one out, seat two out, if you need to take a drink.
Take a second. And because
I never knew about that.
But you're
option.
Always wondering. I mean, even with running, you know, listen, I'll run with my buddy. We run, but sometimes we have to stop and walk a second. If I was like, no walking, well, that relationship would probably end. And so, you know, we got to find a balance to have.
Find a balance there,
You know, we want to get people out on the boat at least. Yeah. And but, you know, it leaves room for improvement. Sure. I only pulled up once, right?
And to reiterate, David said, you know, we will have recreational paddling, novice paddling, and then racing. So there is a spot for everyone for sure.
And definitely at the beginning of the season, we'll go out for like a mile and a half or so, take a break, and then do like a 3 or 4 or 5 mile piece and stop. So we do break it up into what we call pieces where you try to get from here to there, and then you take a 2 to 3 minute break.
If I wanted to try this, what would you suggest would be the one? Or is there multiple different paddling things, or basically is it just one that I would come to?
There would be one of those three orientation meetings, and you don't have to come to the orientation meeting if you happen to hear about it word of mouth. I would say last year, about a third of the people that came to the orientation meetings at the beginning of the year actually stayed with the club throughout the season, whereas the bulk of the people that we got were word of mouth. They just started showing up with friends and things like that, and that's still fine too, and we'll do training on the beach, a quick overview, and then get you in the canoe. There is a waiver that folks have to sign, but you can just anticipate that's with everything these days.
Oh, yeah.
Not podcasting.
No waiver here.
No waiver here.
We're out there. We're wild.
Yeah, so that's, we encourage people to come to these meetings because there'll be a lot to cover and you'll get a lot better background. But, yeah, if it's... can't make the meetings and just show up, we can do that too.
Yeah, you could probably learn if this might be a fit for you probably at the meeting, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because this does sound like something. I'd love to try to do this. I just, for me, it's, you know, it sounds like there's a little flexibility in the club. I would hate to sign up for something where, you know, I was expected to be there every time. Unfortunately, I have
we had it 3 times a week where it was for the people who were kind of really serious about it and wanted that workout 3 times a week because it does become something of an addiction where you're like, oh, I got to paddle. And but if you're, you know, we had it set up for novice paddlers who only wanted to, say, do 1 day a week. And, you know, we would do something at sunset on Wednesdays. So we'd go out and we'd see the sailboats, you know, racing on the Wednesday night regattas. Depending on what you want, if you get a group of people together and you want to go on Tuesday afternoons, we can do that. So I'm retired. I was running 7 practices a week last year, and can pretty much go anytime there's a group of people.
What's a session like? If I want to do this, how much time of my day is probably going to be taken?
More and more. And so I, you know, again, with the wreck paddling, it's just usually a quick shot out to one of the lighthouses and back. So just, you know, real short run in, run out. But we do, you know, if, again, that competitive group that wants to meet on Saturday mornings early and go, I mean, by the time you unload the canoe and set it on the beach and rig it and then go and come back in, you know, about half your day's gone. It's about a 4-hour situation. So
okay,
just be prepared for most of your Saturday morning being gone.
Well, and I would imagine you, if you're going to come out and paddle, you probably need to get there early, help get the boat out to the beach, right? I mean, it takes a group. Mm-hmm. Don't expect to paddle and run.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, there's some cleanup.
Yeah.
Right. And prep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So 4 hours, that's, yeah, honey, I'll be back in 4 hours.
But don't let that scare you away, because most of the time that I paddle, I was pretty much done in 2. Mm-hmm. Like I would come, we would take about a half an hour to get set up, paddle for an hour, and then a half an hour to break down. Yeah. So, and it wasn't a weekly obligation. You sign up online. Right. There's a really great app that we have called Team Snap, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
very
you just cool. look at the practice roster for the week, and you sign up for when you want to or can be there. So there's no pressure to be there
right.
at any time. Every once in a blue moon, David would say, "Hey, we need another paddler for tomorrow. Are you available?" And mm-hmm. you know, whether it's yes or no, it's fine. So it's not a pressure situation. It's really something that is just that you want to do, and mm-hmm. you do it when you can. So I found that it really is just a few, you know, maybe 2 hours. It certainly can be longer for the mm-hmm. more competitive paddlers, but I found that I was home by 11 or 12 on the days that I paddled, and it was great.
What's the name of the app again?
Team Snap, right,
Team
David?
Snap.
Yeah, Team Snap. It's a online roster management thing for like coaches and team leaders. And yeah, I'll go in there and say, "We're having a practice. This is where we're meeting. We're going to have one canoe. We're going to have 2 canoes, whatever." I have a little bit of notes in there. And yeah, you can say, it'll pop up. It'll come to you in an email, and it'll give you the option of yes, no, or maybe. And then that way I can look down and see if I have enough people to paddle either 1, 2, or 3 canoes.
Very user-friendly.
Yeah.
Very.
Kind of feel like sort of like a badass right now. I feel like I want to come paddle.
Come paddle, man.
I'm just picturing the size of my shoulders that are going to be. Yeah,
they're going to be huge.
Going to be huge.
You're not going to be able to fit through that door over there.
Bro. Aloha.
Got it.
I love it. I'm so excited. This is so cool because a year ago you had a couple people. Now you got like 40.
Yeah, now we did races last year. We competed in 4 different races.
How cool.
And it was fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
We used to, remember the dragon boats?
Yeah.
Remember the dragon boat period when we did dragon boats here in Rehoboth? Or I guess it would have been Lewis. That was always a pretty cool event. People loved that.
I heard, yeah.
There may have been a few beers being drank, but
I think there was, yeah, that's what I heard.
It was a festive occasion.
So a few of our paddlers that currently paddle with us used to be dragon boat paddlers as well. So it's somewhat similar stroke. I always say I can work with it. I got to break a few bad habits, but... it's for the most part workable. I mean, people who dragon boat definitely have that mentality of go and don't stop until I'm told to stop. And so they're good in that. They're kind of like Jack Russell Terriers conditioned to paddle. The closest thing to the stroke that we use in the outrigger canoe is if you've ever done stand up paddle boarding, it's kind of a twist and reach and it's your top hand is kind of over your head. It's very much like that stroke, but a little different, obviously, because you're sitting.
Mm-hmm. What about lower back issues? Do you recommend not trying this? Because I do have a little bit of a lower back issue. But
well, I found a lot of people I have lower back issues, and I find that if I don't paddle, that's when my back hurts. And so
that's good information.
It's good workout for your whole body. I mean, you're the way you're switching your legs back and forth. So if you're paddling on the left side, your left leg is forward. If you're on the right leg's forward, and the other foot's back. And you're pushing off of that. I'm doing it here in the radio station, but you all can't see that. But but
looks good.
If you could see me, you would. But anyway, it works the whole body. So you're twisting your torso a little bit. So it's actually good for core strengthening. You should work on your core again before you get in the canoe. But it does strengthen the core doing the sport. So I always tell people that if you're doing it right, the first couple times you've done it, when you get out of the canoe the next day, your whole body should hurt, not just your arms or your shoulders, right?
Yeah.
And but over time, you build up all those muscles and you become much stronger all over.
And you're paddling awesome. Like 15 strokes on one side generally, and then you switch sides. So it's very symmetrical from side to side. Nice. So you're not always on the right or always on the left, or you're not switching every single stroke, which would be a little much for me. So you have time to kind of settle into each side. And I'm a chiropractor by training, so I love it. It's a great core strengthener. It's a great lower back strengthener for sure.
Wow.
I wanted to also speak to, I love our little, not our little, I love our Hawaiian commands that Coach David uses because they often have so many different meanings. Mm-hmm. The one that I like the best is E Kaupe, and it's when you're setting up, when you're the boat's stationary and you're getting ready to start paddling, and it means to reach out, to reach your paddle forward. But it has a much broader meaning in life. We're reaching out with our paddles, but we're also reaching out to our communities. Mm. And I love that. I have that written on my yoga mat right now. So if you could you walk us through the three commands when we're getting ready to start? Because it just, your adrenaline starts and you get really excited. Yeah. And he has such a way of saying them. And I love the meaning.
This is what I was talking about, the mindfulness, because you really have to listen and pay attention. You have to listen to the command. And also to pay attention to the person in front of you, because you don't want to be responsible for the canoe tipping.
You don't want to be that person.
Right? Don't want to be that person, right? Right. I actually have
I'm sure there's a name for that, too. That person.
That person. Well, when the boat flips over, that's called a huli.
Huli.
But we don't want a huli. H-U-L-I. But yeah, I have a kalpe on the back of my, it's on my license plate in my truck. So to reach out is very important. So yeah, the three commands are, first of all, is ho'omaukaukau, which means to just hold the paddle out straight in front of you, kind of parallel to the water surface and kind of resting on the gunwale. And that just means to be like, okay, gang, you know, let's focus. We're going to get ready to go here. And it's about to be go time. And then that, as Tanya said, the Akalpe is reaching out in the position. Again, I'm doing it in the studio and you can't see it, but it looks great from here. But but it's the way of reaching out and being prepared to strike the water and start paddling, and that's E Kaupe. And then to go with force or strength is Imua. So it would sound like this. It would sound like Ho'omaukaukau, E Kaupe, Imua. And that just means boom, go. And just go, and you're just off.
My heart just started beating fast. I wasn't
nice. You're ready.
Yeah.
It's a Pavlovian response, too.
That's great. Yeah. I'm going to have to come do this thing, I think.
Yeah, come on out.
So it's
taking a year,
fun.
But I think I'm going to do it. I do. I really want to try it. The fact that it only is a couple hours, I think that was a big deal, because I sort of pictured this whole day event. So I'm glad that it can be done. Not that I need it done in a couple hours, but with three kids and a life, it's like sometimes hard to get away for 4 hours, even though that sounds pretty cool too. But 2 hours, I think I could paddle for an hour.
Yeah, and you're on the beach. You're on the water.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we see dolphins pretty much every time we're out. We see dolphins. We see brown pelicans. We see all kinds of marine life. And we were paddling up the Broadkill just a couple weeks ago and saw a gray seal swimming around up there. And so you see all kinds of wonderful wildlife, and it's about that. It's about getting connected to our island home, right? Mm-hmm. We're in creation every day, and we shouldn't take it for granted, right?
Live in a beautiful place.
This seems like one of these leave your phone at home kind of situations.
Totally.
You gotta leave your phone at home,
no phones.
And you're sitting actually quite low to the water, which I think is hard for people to understand, like is a boat up high? There's so many different types of boats. But you're sitting, you actually feel like you're almost in the water, actually. Like your hands will get wet, you'll get splashed, which is very refreshing when it's a hot summer day.
Yeah.
But it really feels like you're in the water, and I love that feeling.
What is it? I think you mentioned a wetsuit. I mean, what is the sort of like, this time of year, do you need a wetsuit?
Yeah, we, after the water temperature gets down below like 45, we start to say wetsuits are mandatory. So like so here's what I wear this time of year. I wear a skin, and then I wear a Farmer John wetsuit over that. And then I put like two sweatshirts on, and then a dry suit top, and then a life jacket. Because if in this water, if you huli the boat, if you flip the boat over and you go in, there's a like a gasp response where you want to avoid taking in water. So that's why you wear a life jacket. And so yeah, the winter paddling is a whole nother layer. If we had, you know, 45 people going out per week during the summer months, we have 4, 5, or 6 going out once a week in the wintertime. So a lot less number of people want to paddle in the winter. But we will go, and there are some folks out there who do like surf skis and things like that that are hardcore that want to go all winter, and they have the wetsuits and the dry suit tops and all that business, and they want to go. But yeah, it's not for everybody. It's more this. I look at this as more in Hawaii. We can paddle year round, of course, and then we're just wearing like a sleeveless shirt and board shorts, and that's what we'll do here in the summer. But I consider our season pretty much May-ish through about September, October is really when we're doing most of our paddling.
Nice.
Yeah, and we just wear like bathing suits. Some type of hat or sun visor is important, and a life preserver.
Life preserver.
So no special equipment.
What time do you try to get out? Well, earlier the better, or?
Well, in the summertime, yeah, it's earlier the better to beat the heat. So yeah, sometimes right around sun up or 7, 8 in the morning. In the wintertime, we actually paddle in the afternoon because it's going to be the warmest. So we wait till about 1 o'clock to when we hopefully have the quote heat of the day, and then get out then.
I'm ready for some heat of the day.
Me too.
I hate this time of year.
Yeah.
It's the worst, right? Because you always think March, we're there, we've done it, we made it.
No.
My kid's like, six more weeks of winter. I go, try 14, bro.
Yeah. It's that,
not six. Yeah. I don't know where that six is, but I am over this this weather and the chill, and I'm ready for some heat of the summer. That
ready
sounds
for
really
some
fun.
Paddling, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. Well, listen, what else can we do? We need to cover anything else? Do you want to list the dates of the meetings again and locations? And
sure. Again, yeah, they're at the St. Peter's Episcopal Church Parish Hall this Saturday.
This Saturday,
March 18th at 3 o'clock. And then next Saturday at the Crossing Church at 3 o'clock. And then the last one again is
Thursday, April 6th at 6:30 at the Ivy Drip Bar on the Forgotten Mile.
And yeah, Ivy Drip Bar has been on the podcast.
We have. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. That's very cool.
Thank you.
Well, it's cool to see you guys teaming up.
Natural progression. Yeah, if you paddle really hard, you then have to go to Ivy Drip Bar.
Absolutely.
To be replenished.
That's right.
Listen, yeah. I'd rather see people worn out from paddling than drinking beer.
Right.
I love that. What's the app again? Just
Team Snap, but you have to then find our club.
Sure.
Yeah, Team Snap. So, yeah, when you come to these orientation meetings or recruitment meetings, what we do is, we talk about how we schedule things and we get people's email addresses and we stick them into Team Snap. That way they'll get a notification from our club that a certain practice is coming up. So we'll announce that. But other things that we'll cover at the orientation meeting or recruitment meeting is just we'll show some slides on, who we are, the background of the canoe club. I show some instructional videos that show paddling techniques, and it breaks down the paddling stroke into probably about 4 or 5 different elements to the paddling stroke, and we kind of go through that. I try not to scare people off with that. It sounds real technical, but I say that this is just to show you the gist of the stroke. And so we'll show a couple of videos. I'll have other paddlers there. We'll walk through the commands that we just went through. We'll talk about, we'll have these guys sit in chairs with their paddles and simulate the stroke so that we can talk about technique and just have a good talk, as they say in Hawaiian, talk story. We'll just have a good talk story session.
Nice.
What about your website? I found when I first started, it was really helpful to get on your website because you've got the videos on there as well.
That's good to mention that. Thank you. It's newhopeatlantic.org, and it has a video on there of showing us paddling. And then on the last page, it has some links to some paddling technique. But yeah, check out the website.
They're helpful.
Yeah.
Well, what about age? Because I have I have a couple boys, and I could totally see doing this with them, but one is 17 and one is 11. So what is the age requirement to get involved in this?
We've said traditionally it's going to be 18 or older because the canoes are bigger and you really have to be of bigger frame. When we were teaching the kids down at, working with the kids down at Camp Arrowhead, we had to leave it to like all middle school age kids, the older kids, because they were bigger. So we're going to say 18 or over. However, if there is a group of kids like through a church or through Boy Scouts or through, what have you, some club, we can accommodate kids if they're under 18, if they're a little bit on the bigger side.
Well, I was going to say my 11-year-old is as tall as me.
Okay.
And my 17-year-old is like 6 foot.
Yeah,
so they're bigger than me.
Yeah, yeah. Bring them.
Yeah, well, I didn't. You know, I didn't know if there was a legal thing. You said there's a waiver involved in signing the waiver.
Yeah, right now right now the waiver is 18 or over. But if I do, like I said, if I do have like special kids programs, I can get a different waiver for that.
Big middle schoolers.
Big middle schoolers, yeah, pretty much.
Well, man, my one son who is, my kid's decently active, but my one son, he loves playing the computer. And, you know, we spent all these years, computers are not going to get you anywhere, but it's what he loves to do. So I'm just like, do your thing. And he's very good at it. But he plays basketball and stuff, but I would like to get him.
Yeah, bring him out.
He's that guy that almost needs like something kind of different to try,
this is different.
Yeah, and this I think would be fun, and I know my older kid, he would love to do this. So
looks great on a college application too.
Does it?
Heck yeah.
Is there money to get? Because we're filling those out right now too. Paddling. Oh, you're in. Come in.
Well, you know, that's actually, maybe somebody will hear this in radio land. But I mean,
podcast.
Yeah, I'm always thinking that podcast land, sorry.
Thank you.
You know, like a school would pick this up. And I think this would be a great school activity. In Hawaii, I mean, it's like a gym requirement in Hawaii to paddle. But that's Hawaii.
Funny.
But I would think, local high schools would want to maybe field a team to do this. So call me.
Sussex Academy. That's where my kids go. They don't have football. Maybe they can have paddling.
There we are.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because when I lived in San Diego, there was a surfing class.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids were down surfing for school.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Well, listen, this is, so we've had Dave Schofield, Tanya Pritz, and Karen Truppo, and this is the New Hope Canoe Club Ministry Team Atlantic.
That's the one.
And we've listed a couple times. We'll put it in the description, the dates for the meetings, but three great opportunities to find out if this is something you're interested in. I've just in the conversation, I think this happened last time, and unfortunately I did not show up. I think this is the year.
I'm just going to hound you until you come out. So
yeah,
I want to do it. I really do. This seems like, I mean, totally. Because I'm not a person that, I don't like the gym. I'm not a gym guy. If I could find something that's entertaining and exciting and humbling, right?
Outside in nature, it's the best.
It'll break self right down. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you won't regret it.
You know,
it's wonderful.
I have no doubt that I will not regret it. I absolutely want to do it. I just got to find the time and. But very cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us.
So,
newhopeatlantic.org is the website.
Mm-hmm.
Instagrams, any?
There's a Facebook page of the same name, New Hope Atlantic Canoe Club. New Hope Canoe Club Team Atlantic is the Facebook page. But yeah, I haven't evolved far enough to use Instagram or anything else. I am old, so Facebook's where I stop.
Okay. So, but if someone needed to reach out to you through one of those two things, can you be contacted through your website?
Yeah, the website, there's on the very first page is a contact us, and that'll come straight to me.
So go to the meetings if you have any questions. But if you need to reach Dave, you can reach him through the website or the Facebook page. And then Karen A. Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
That's your Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Karen A. Pilot. Is your husband a pilot?
That's her maiden name. Pilot's her maiden name.
Like, you riverboat pilot? What's going on?
I know.
And you'll share your story and your adventures through this, and I'm sure if someone has any questions, they can reach out through
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And then Tanya, who has the drip bar, and then ask Dr. Tanya.
Yeah.
Nice. I appreciate it, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks
I hope
for
that
having
I get to join
us.
You.
Thank
and
you.
Next year, I can be more of a testimonial and
please.
Less of as a listener. But
we'll get
wonderful.
You out there.
Very cool. All right. Well, listen, have a great day.
Aloha.
You too.
Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.